Hey there, Z Nation fans. Welcome to another episode of the Z Nation After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 3, Episode 5, Little Red and the Wolves. And we've got a very special guest with us tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Nothing like a little 80s cheese to help bring you back up after, like, I don't know, being emotionally wrecked for 40 minutes. It's fine. It's
at least. I think we all came into this wrecked after that cliffhanger, and then it's like, oh, I'm dying. Oh, this is great. Also, Duran Duran is always going to be the correct choice.
That is a fact. That is a
always.
Fact.
Always.
Hey there, Z Nation fans. Welcome to another episode of the Z Nation After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 3, Episode 5, Little Red and the Wolves. How are we all feeling tonight, ladies?
Wrecked.
Sensational.
That is very good to hear. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. To my left is Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at KiaJ. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. And I love that you said my fantastic panel and then introduced yourself.
My fantastic
that was
panel.
Cute. That
me.
Was
me. And our very, very special guest joining us tonight, Anastasia Baranova. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, world. I'm very good.
What if I did the entire show like that?
I would be very impressed, actually, if you did.
You know, I couldn't keep it going.
Too hard.
Right.
Well, chat has officially lost their minds that you're here. They're very happy that you're here. And
hello.
For all the people who were surprised at that, this is like your fifth time in studio with us, isn't it?
Yeah, I pretty much live here, so yeah. I don't know why you're surprised.
We can't get her to leave,
I
guys.
I literally will not leave. It's really uncomfortable.
So we have the live chat up. Obviously, we're watching it. We also have the hashtag ABTVZNation. If you have something fun to say, if you have questions for our lovely special guest, throw them in the hashtag, throw them in the live chat. You may well get a shout out.
Please do, guys. We love hearing from you, and we love hearing from you guys on iTunes as well. It is the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on. Rating and leaving a comment, it is the highlight of our week. And if you guys leave a comment, we will give you a shout out on the show.
Shout out on the show!
Shout out on the show!
Shout out on the show!
But we have a very interesting episode to talk about tonight. In this episode, Little Red and the Wolves was written by Jen Derwinson. Mm. And that, it's pretty, actually, once you know that, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because she is the type of writer, at least in terms of the episodes that she's done for Z Nation, where there's kind of a motif. She did the whole motif with the Wizard of Oz last season.
That's right, yeah.
So, and here, we kind of have a Little Red Riding Hood motif a little bit.
She didn't do the Western, did she?
Mm-hmm. She did the, I think she did the FUBAR.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was the Western then.
So yeah, when you guys get like these niche episodes to work on where you guys can tell like they're going for a specific mm-hmm. angle, is it a lot of fun?
It really is, because it gives us something to like play into, you know what I mean? Just a little bit. We're still doing Z Nation, we're still doing whatever is happening, but then it's like, it gives it a flavor. Do you know what I mean? We always know, like, oh, make that kind of choice. Like, later in the season, we're doing an election episode.
Oh, my God.
maybe spoiler, but maybe not. No, it's fine, whatever.
You know, it's
I think
still,
it's called the election,
it's still
so.
generally speaking, and there are no details. Like,
you'd figure
but
it
is
out.
That airing before or after, I suppose, is the pertinent question.
Fingers crossed, it's time.
Well, it is funny. I thought I saw on the Z Nation Twitter earlier this week, somebody was asking what the exact day was of the zombie apocalypse.
Did you see that, Craig?
November
9th, 2016. That's when the apocalypse starts.
Well, literally,
are you not wrong?
Officially dated.
Yeah, now that we've given ourselves a timestamp, just out of curiosity, I loved the Wizard of Oz motif that you guys had last season, and I love the Little Red Riding Hood. Really, anytime there's like kind of a fairy tale twist mm-hmm. on, or like a motif that the writers kind of play around with, if you could have any motif for an episode, what would it be? Would it be fairy tale, superhero? What would you
want
to work
with?
What
do you think?
Oh my God.
Time travel.
Come on. Obviously.
Duh.
It's not even a motif. This is my pitch for the crossover. Okay. Here it comes. clearly zombies are aliens. And clearly I'm the new companion. And we meet when the doctor comes to our apocalypse to save the day. And then once the day is saved, he's like, hey girl, come through. And I'm like, okay, woo.
And there's already a little bit of precedence for that with the whole Area 51 thing.
I know.
I feel at that point Addie would just be happy to have a shower. Like running water.
A wardrobe.
I will take anything, especially time travel. So I'm just, for anybody who's curious, I really want to be on that
track. I went straight for zombie beauty pageant.
Really?
Like in the vein of toddlers and tiaras.
That's kind of brilliant.
Carl, with all of these horrible people wrangling their zombies and trying to put makeup on them and all that.
Like it's a dog show?
Yes!
Oh, man.
Dog and pony show with zombies.
That's fantastic.
You can send my check too.
That's great.
Well, wouldn't that be ridiculous?
That would actually be really Well, it's almost sort of like The Collector. What was that? Oh, was that last year? Do you know what I mean? Somebody who just has like this weird, like, like my toys.
Weird. And speaking of The Collector, like something really unsettling about that episode was Murphy actually giving in to his zombie instincts and eating brains.
I love that we went full warm body.
That was really natural. I know, right?
And if so,
let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about brains on the program. Yes.
So, and something to point out is that Murch is dead.
Yep.
Not a zombie, which I guess we can assume is a sort of side effect from all of the different, like, Murphy's bite and the medication that she's been giving herself. So, that's sort of, I don't want to say the hand-wavy way of being able to dismiss the fact that she's dead.
Did you see how much cranial trauma she had?
Ooh.
She could have been zombified and then put down again.
We don't know. Yeah, I mean, her
like,
skull did
her
look
head
like,
was ripped
really
off.
Just kind of took a beating there. Yeah,
that
it was
is
a little rough.
Very true. It could be that there was just too much cranial damage for her to become a zombie in the first place. So that's entirely possible, too.
Hashtag ZNation Science!
But Keith gives a fantastic performance.
That's just everybody. One time for Keith Allen.
Oh, yeah, God.
Yeah.
So handsome.
Gives a man
just
a hand.
Straight up monologue. Just, I loved, what was it? I'm a messiah, not a scientist, or something like that. Or I'm a messiah, not a doctor. It was some Star Trek reference that was like, bless you.
Yeah, it was I'm a messiah, not a doctor.
And then there was another straight up pop culture reference that is escaping me right now.
He definitely made a Hamlet reference.
And there was something else.
It's escaping me.
Chat, what was it?
Yes.
What was it?
Please,
if you remember, throw it in there.
Help us.
Yes.
But, and again, you have to, this is something that Z Nation does really well, too, is like the one-off sort of character episodes, and we get that with both 10K and Murphy this time around, as somebody who's been featured in episodes like that, specifically, in my mind, I think of like the Run Lola Run
episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Is there a lot of pressure when there's, like, when the entire episode basically focuses on, like, just
you.
The performance of two actors?
Yeah. Don't mess it up. It's just you.
Get it together.
It's just you. I mean, I think those are really fun. Those are definitely fun as an actor, and those are definitely like, okay, acting school. Like, come through. But it's also ready, set emotions.
Is that just like the longest week of your life then?
They end up being...
Or the longest 6 days, I guess.
Is it five days now?
This year's 5 days. Yeah, they end up being some pretty intense, like, back-to-back kind of, you know, days and stuff. But, it's really fun, though. It's really fun because I feel like when... And we sort of did that this year when, you know, they sort of split up the group a little bit. Because I think at this point, 2 years in, you know the gang, you know our dynamic, so you don't, like, if you don't see me for a couple episodes, you're not like, oh my god, who is Addie? Like, you know, right? Like, or if you don't see Dog for a while, whatever, you, like, you know who these people are. But then these fleshed out episodes kind of give you time to, like, hang out with Dog for a while and, like, see what he's up to and, like, hang out with everybody. So I think those are really, really fun. But yeah, it's definitely, like, don't mess it up. Because there's literally nobody else here that you could, like... toss it to. It's just
line.
It's still me. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
So again, absolutely again. No pressure whatsoever.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
But again, you guys have such a fantastic crew that like you probably come like even when it's not an episode entirely focused around you guys, you always come prepared. Like,
oh that's, yeah.
Everybody seemed real professional. And not to, I shouldn't jump around too much. I should get to it more with 10K's story. But you actually get little flashes of us again in this episode.
Yes, I was just so happy.
As a pure narcissist, that's just something I felt the need to point out.
There were some very good shots of me. I noticed that. Why are you doing that? That's awkward.
That is so
awkward.
But your hair's so pretty.
It is.
Yes,
so shiny.
That is so awkward. Why are you doing that? It's just like pet.
She's just having flashbacks from how we had to detangle our hair.
Oh god,
that day.
That took an hour.
At least, right?
It took getting all that zombie makeup off. They Lush sells this product that can basically remove spackle. It's such a good makeup remover, and I was using that to get the zombie makeup off. Like, didn't think I'd need it, and then it's like, oh, God, there's still green behind my ears. How many weeks has it been?
Right, you're just talking to your therapist about it. Just, I don't know why. I'm just still really, really traumatized by this situation.
There's still black stuff coming out of my ears. I don't understand.
I think at that point, you should see a doctor.
Condition.
Yep.
So
I have to say this because Rob Rocks in the chat just made me so happy. To think Murphy will be the leader of the human race all because he committed postal fraud.
That's pretty hilarious.
Bless you.
Absolutely
I love that.
Hilarious.
That's actually really, really funny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And we have Mike in the chat as well saying, RIP Dr. Murch, another original cast member gone forever.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate because I really enjoyed having her, you know, here this season, you know, because we hadn't seen her since from the get-go. So, like, bringing her in the capacity that she was brought in, I was very intrigued. Mm-hmm. And, like, seeing her go down at the end of last week's episode was devastating for a number of reasons. I thought we weren't going to see her again. Seeing her, the corpse, sitting there for the entire episode.
Isn't that so weird?
So was that her in makeup?
Yeah.
Or I'm just imagining her keeping
her.
A straight face with him monologuing back and forth. Like, I want to see the blooper reel for this because it has to be amazing.
Oh, God, right?
It's got to be.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note, too, that, and we were talking about this a little bit last week when it came to predictions, the idea that Murphy can absorb knowledge by eating brains. Like, did you ever see that movie Warm Bodies?
We went full Warm Bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Chad is saying iZombie. Let's see. Renji and Boo are both saying it reminds them of iZombie.
So I actually have not watched any of iZombie yet. I hear good things.
Yeah.
I hear good things.
So this is not an unfamiliar thing in zombie media. It's just not something we've done in this show. And so it's interesting to see it and to have him just spouting off all of the scientific equations. And before it was, what does the Pac-Man looking thing have to do with it?
I did like how he was trying to puzzle it out. And he was like, what's the squiggly thing? And then... like, none of these make any sense. What do these abbreviations mean?
Well, that's Sigma, and it usually means a summation.
It's a Pac-Man symbol, Kate.
It's a Pac-Man thing. Oh, my God, get it right.
I'm foreign. I don't know what you're saying. I'm not in this country.
Yeah.
When you start speaking science, it all just gets...
It's just techno-babble.
I'm glad you can speak that, because I got nothing.
And, I mean, it's just techno-babble. It's like when the doctor... Isn't it pretty?
Right.
Yeah. But it's like when the doctor starts spewing techno-babble. Like, he's going to reverse the polarity of something
very
or other.
Very sexy.
Just of the neutron flow.
Very, very sexy when he does it. That's right, doctor. Tell me that. Science.
Speak that tech. Talk techno babble to me.
Yes, hello, David Tennant. Let's do this.
To be fair, anything David Tennant says is very attractive and very
I don't know. I watched Jessica Jones. That was terrifying.
Fact! I retract my statement. Oh, Lord.
Anyway, hit by the evidence. Let's keep going.
If you haven't watched Jessica Jones yet, it's really good.
And
but
also
it's
completely
also
terrifying.
Devastating because David Tennant plays the villain. So it's very hard to watch. Yeah.
I don't know if my heart could even handle that, honestly.
It was terrifying.
I would probably have, like, a really hard time being like, what have you done to him? No.
But we to get back.
There was a whole after show for Jessica Jones. Right. You should go watch that.
Yes. And with after fantastic you finish watching panelists. This. Yeah, with fantastic yes. panelists. But the fact that Murphy can absorb knowledge by consuming brains, that sets a very dangerous precedent.
How quickly will it become, it's easier for you to be dead and for me to eat you than for me to try to keep you alive? How soon until that happens? Because we have knowledge. Can he absorb someone's skill set?
Probably, because he, at least he thinks he can, because at this point, now that he's consumed Murch's mind, in his mind, he can finish what she started in terms of the formula and the vaccine and keeping himself at, like, a weird state of equilibrium between his zombie side and his humanity. And we see he's physically changing, too. He's got blotches on his skin. And the last time we saw him go through a transformation, it was a big deal.
It was really, really rough.
It was.
And I love how honest, you know, how he comes back to everything being like, look, if anything happens, it's you. Like, you did this to me. You know what I mean? And everything that's true. I'm going through, all of my transformations, all the weird stuff that's been happening in his life, like... Ugh, what a great... Can you imagine just sitting there with, like, the person who really, you know, did this to you?
Well,
who died to get away from you.
And to watch
who chose to die in a horrible fashion.
To watch him try... To watch him wrestle with that, too, because this is the person that inflicted this on him. And then when he brings her in, you know, from his perspective, when he brings her into the fold to make the world a better place, you know, as far as he sees it... the fact that she did that, that she was able to defy him and commit suicide, he can't quite deal with it at first. And he's like, it must have been an accident. Like, seeing the different, like, stages of rationalization for him. Of denial,
anger, bargaining.
And, yeah, and
attempting to understand science. That's one, right?
That makes sense. That
we all go through that Full Metal Alchemist phase where we want to bring someone back, right?
Yeah, that checks out. That checks out.
Obviously.
Hashtag science.
Hashtag Z Nation science. It was very much a Frankenstein moment, though.
Yeah.
Because we get that bit with Frankenstein's monster going, why didn't you like me? Why didn't you want me? I didn't know anything. I needed you to take care of me, and you ran. Why?
That's actually a really good comparison, because in the book... The monster becomes very intelligent you know, isn't just, like, nuts and bolts and whatever. But he's very intelligent and actually in the book gives a lot of beautiful soliloquies. Yeah. So I kind of like that. That's good. Good. English major right here, guys.
Reading.
So, yeah, that's a really good comparison. And the other thing, too, is a lot of not just... the soliloquy and the, you know, what this could mean for the future. But I also really liked seeing a lot of the genuine emotion that Murphy was displaying, because he's a character who a lot of times when bad stuff happens, he'll shrug it off, or sometimes he's the cause of bad things happening and he's always like, whatever, it's the apocalypse.
Yep.
But when Murch dies and his followers are like, what are we supposed to do now? He gives this beautiful speech of, like, it was almost a Warren speech of, like, we've got to pick up and press forward.
Finish the moat, make homes, plant crops, live.
Like, he's been taking notes from Warren.
Well, he did. Like, when he got to Spokane and when he got to, like, Murphytown, you know what I mean? He's really, I think in general, like, that's the thing that Keith really purposely did. And it was a combination of, like, the writing, like, that's where Murphy is, and then, like, Keith playing him this way, that he really, like, is stepping into leadership. He's really, like...
I learned it by watching you.
Right?
I learned it from you.
He's
I
like,
learned
well, it all fine. Right? And he really is, like, pretty, you know, and Keith has been talking about this a lot, where he's like, yeah, Murphy's just fed up. Like, they've been, like, poking and prodding and pushing him. I mean, obviously, we've been trying to keep you alive, you maniac.
You jerk.
Just, jeez Louise.
Did we get a little in character there?
Oh, so annoying.
You go maniac.
But, you know, he really hasn't gotten to, he was sort of dealt this really weird hand that's been, like, evolving. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the character to do something with it. You know what I mean? Like, you're the guy. You're the one guy.
And it's uncharted territory.
Completely. Completely. So, I don't know. It's a really interesting... So, I like where they're going with Murphy in terms of sort of understanding that he, you know, that first I'm your Messiah moment when Garnett dies in the sixth episode, you know, that's sort of the journey. This is ultimately where that's been building up to, is him arriving and not being like, well.
Yeah, in this episode, he literally refers to himself as God. He's like, what in the name of God? What in the name of me? Are we gonna do? And it was really funny because, again, we see a lot of these genuine emotions and him, like, stepping up, and he's changed so much. But at the end of the day, at his core, he's still Murphy.
He's a Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I love that. I love that it still always shines through. Do you know what I mean? The guy who's always, like, cheating cards with Doc. Like, you're still that guy.
The guy who was in mail for postal fraud.
Come on.
I definitely said that.
Oh, and I didn't.
It's been a long day, everybody.
In jail. Woo! In jail, not mail.
Well, it was also mail.
There was mail. Mail was involved.
There was mail involved. I can be forgiven.
For 2 seconds, can we talk about how wonderful we had the Going Postal episode?
Wasn't that so good?
I just really want to talk about how wonderful was he and, like,
He went postal. I'm so happy. I was not
so many postal puns.
I was not expecting it to take the turn it did, and then it did, and I was just like,
right? It was a very dark turn, but, like, when it turned that way, we were all like, guys, this is amazing. I'm terrified and also really intrigued.
He has a murder house. Oh my god. And zombies that remember stuff.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the one zombie in the boat to remember that Murphy let her die.
Ooh.
This is not a show that wastes things.
No? No spoilers. No spoilers, Anastasia.
What?
I feel like you need popcorn while we sit here and talk about this. So you just, like, popcorn.gif at all of us making predictions.
But something I liked about not only the postal episode was a really great horror movie, but I also really appreciated what it did for Sun's character, Sun Mei. And the way you guys got development with her with the whole tooth situation, too.
Let's discuss. What were your thoughts, feelings, and emotions?
Ow.
Right?
that whole sequence was really upsetting.
Really intense, right? I really enjoyed that, you know, because I think the internet knows that I've been trying to get a girlfriend for a long time. On the show.
last season, on this show, you say, can I have a lesbian girlfriend?
Been asking for a lesbian girlfriend.
They're like, here, we want someone straddle you for a little bit.
Right? And it's so funny how quickly the internet, like, I saw the comments, we were like,
Where's Sun Mei and Adi's relationship going? I was like, I wonder where it's going.
Guys, that's why we have fan fiction.
Now, I can't believe no one's
question,
done that yet.
And we'll get back to this episode, but I do want to ask a quick question. Do you ship it, though?
How can I not?
Like FedEx at Christmas.
Hey, overnight it.
That's
what it'll be.
More male humor. I said it. Ugh, I hate myself.
Actually, they're both women. But...
Male humor.
Yes!
Wow.
Darn it.
Two in a row.
We're all going to die alone.
I will die surrounded by cats.
Cats. Just cats.
I have one. I'm getting started.
So to get back to this episode.
Yes.
Murphy's now been put. And I liked, again, talking about the emotion. I really liked the emotion he conveyed, too, when he gets news that 10K's dead. Because it's like, at first when he hears the news, he doesn't believe. It's like he can't process the idea of any of that group being dead.
Our engineer is saying hashtag just cats.
Just cats.
Lord.
That's the other episode I want. Someone who's like a cat lady, except they're like a zombie lady.
Well, and we can have zombie cats in this show.
Wait,
like, that would be zombie animals.
But that's true.
You guys.
Yes.
Have you spoken to Russell Hodgkinson about this?
No.
No.
We haven't had Russell on yet this season.
There's a woman up in somewhere in the Washington area who rehabilitates, like, cats.
Aww.
Paraplegic.
Aww.
Parts not there anymore. Aww. They already look like zombies. Cats. And Russell
somehow got in touch with this lady, and he has been pitching it to Carl forever.
Zombie cats.
Because, and this is the scene, he goes, we don't have to do a big bit, it's just we're like going through something, and we check a room, and we come in, and there's like
20 you, zombie cats.
You know, as a zombie, just like old zombie
like
cat lady.
In a rocking chair.
In a rocking chair, right? And then there's just all of her zombie cats, and then we can use these actual, like, you know, paraplegic cat. And I think, and everybody's like, what a great idea. And Carl's just like, I think he just has like a cat phobia. I don't know what it is. He's just like creeped out. So he won't let it fly. Russell's really, he's been asking for Christmas for zombie cats forever. And oh man, he just won't ever get them.
I am down. I am into this.
Let's do this.
We need to have,
a cat at the shelter that I volunteer at that has a neurological issue and walks like a zombie.
Carl! Yeah. Give these cats a chance!
By the way, that cat is totally adoptable and you should adopt that cat.
And you should adopt that cat.
He's a lover. Cute, he loves everyone. Oh my god, he's black and fluffy and just adores the world.
Wait, no, I want him.
Why is it
I'll
that
take
every...
you to the shelter at some point.
God, no. Why is it that every panel I'm on with you eventually we turns about... into a cat podcast?
Just cats.
We volunteer at a shelter and we have a cat. You know what's going to happen eventually.
But, okay, so to get back, although you need to come onto the show more often because I am loving these brainstorming sessions that we
have. We're just coming up with seasons for days.
Chat as a whole approves of zombie cats with the exception of Boo, who is wrong. So
Boo, take five. Yeah. Get your priorities in order. Clearly you're
think
confused.
Of the possibility. That is a person without vision.
Well, he did just pitch zombie clowns, but I think we might have had that.
We have had zombie clowns.
Well, and I always
also,
appreciate...
Also, clowns need to take a minute. I don't know, clowns
I always,
are just running
I always
wild.
Appreciate a Zombieland reference, so
yes.
that had a big old thing about zombie clowns.
Double tap.
Anywho.
Double
yep,
tap.
Double tap.
Always and forever.
Anyway, so again, when he gets the news about 10K, yep. he like can't process like the thought of any of that group. Even though he's removed himself from them, he can't process the idea of anyone from that group being dead. And I don't know if that's just an emotional thing he refuses to accept, or if he just knows that they're survivors. What do you guys think?
I think it's he knows 10K is a survivor. Mm-hmm. He knows 10K was raised in the woods by his dad. He's trying to kill 10,000 zombies, or was, question mark. No idea if that's going to come back. It's only his name. But just the immediate, if you didn't see him die, he's not dead.
Nobody,
going
no
death. Going full on comic book rules for this. Like, he's not wrong, but that's also definitely, the viewers had that, like, is he dead or is he not? Like, guys, this is a show that shows you the body. If there's no body, they ain't dead.
That's true.
That's actually a really good point.
This is a show that a shows through them dying, yeah, shows yeah. them coming back as zombies, and then kills the zombies. Like, yeah. this is not yeah. a show yeah. that half-asses a dead
or if they're not,
we triple tap, yeah.
Or if they're oh, yeah. not a zombie, then their brains get consumed.
Just
yeah.
like cereal in the morning.
It's well, the same reason that I'm still in the 5K and Red Aren't Dead corner.
That was going to be my next segue.
Speaking
of no bodies, no death, we have the 10K side of things.
Yes.
He's making his escape. He gets he mugs somebody for their motorcycle, then he gets mugged, and then I think the guy's name is Will comes to his rescue, like Murphy's follower, and they have an interesting kind of discussion about, and we talk about this a lot on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, they have an interesting discussion on the nature of free will versus security. And here in America, that's some, you know, in a post 9/11 world, that's something that we wrestle with a lot. It's like, do you sacrifice your freedom so that you can live in a world without fear?
There's a Ben Franklin quote about that. Those who sacrifice their liberty for security deserve neither.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one.
I really had to sit with that. Yeah.
And for Anna in chat saying, we saw 5K's body. We saw a body. He didn't turn into a zombie. So,
we got to do the full checklist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Go through all the steps.
Because it's just like, oh, it's the body.
He could have just had low blood sugar and just needed a nap.
This is a world where if you die, you become a zombie.
Exactly.
So if we see a body, but we don't see it become a zombie, then, and 10K hallucinating like mad doesn't count.
Yeah, and so it's really tough in an episode like this to distinguish what's real and what's not.
Sure.
Because he, like, this entire episode could have been, like, a fever dream for 10K, and I'm not entirely convinced it wasn't.
Well, we know the guy chasing him was real because he reported back to Murphy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we know the wolves were real, which, let's talk about the wolves a little bit.
But they weren't actually wolves. They were zombies.
Which
soldiers,
is really weird. They were soldiers who had, like, gas masks on. We didn't get a full explanation as to where they came from.
Hashtag Z-Nation Science.
Hashtag Z-Nation Science.
Much.
But the thing that I noticed immediately about the wolves, apart from, like, the weird, like,
get up.
Moss. Yeah, get up. The costume. Was the camera work that they did. It went all Evil Dead a little bit.
It was a very wide angle. The only thing it was missing was the that Evil Dead always does. The motorcycle sound.
The motorcycle sound effect, yeah.
Because that's what Evil Dead does. If we're following a deadite in the woods, it sounds like a motorcycle.
So I spent a good portion of this episode going, are those zombies, are they deadites, or are they enders? Because, you know, 10K, while he's floating down the river, he sees a couple enders as well. So I wanted to know, Anastasia, because they introduced a couple of new elements this season, and when they introduced the enders, I wanted to know, what was your take on that? Of, like, these people who have just gone completely
super
feral.
Super crazy, right? I thought it was really cool. I think, you know, we, like, what's realistic, right? Like, in this world, I don't know anything anymore. But to me, that was something that was, like, realistic-ish, that, like, whatever humans would be there. Again, this far into this thing, you can. There's no, like, the human body's just not designed for that kind of stress. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's, if you somehow haven't gotten eaten, if, I think it is super interesting, right, that you revert back to such a primitive primal, like, we've had to kill, like, animals, you know what I mean, to survive. I think that's been, like, one of the more logical, like, yo, that would actually happen. Like, people would just kind of snap, you know.
Completely had a mental break. Just like, this is what we have to do to survive. Everything else, it's the hierarchy of needs. We're stuck at the bottom.
That's
there.
It. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Yeah, so I thought that was really, really cool. And it adds a really unique threat, right? Because you're like, oh, here's a zombie. That's a fast zombie. That's a zombie holding a weapon. That's not a zombie. God damn it.
Yeah.
That's a people.
That's a people?
And it's a little different than, like, the one, a very common trope in zombie lore mythology is that, you know, it's not necessarily the zombies that you have to watch out for, it's the other people in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, that's basically that other show. That's whole that other show.
Not just Walking Dead, but, like, literally any bit of zombie anything. There's always going to be that person that will throw you under the bus so that they can run away from the zombies. And we've seen that a lot in this show,
Murphy.
Too.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. Murphy.
Murphy.
Dawn of the Dead. Murphy.
Which one was the very first one?
A Night of the Living. Well, that's, it's not the very first zombie movie, but it's George A. Romero's first zombie movie.
The one where they killed the black guy right at the end.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
To be fair, they actually did not.
The trope namer for that.
They actually, just, again, tangent. Sorry, guys.
Just do it. Just do it.
This is a very tangenty episode. I apologize. I'm super jet lagged. It's my fault. But
I think the people are into
it. We're absolutely taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
But little bit of trivia. They actually, when they cast that actor, it was colorblind casting. They literally, it wasn't written for a black actor. They cast him, and, you know, it was a student film. They cast him because he was the best actor for the role, and so,
and then they started a tradition, a horrible tradition,
which is very funny. Not funny, haha, but it's very interesting that this very progressive casting, this very progressive casting choice, which led to unintentional, very relevant social commentary at the very end, ended up becoming a very problematic trope later on down the line. So it's very interesting to think about.
That's why we can't have nice things.
It's very much why we can't have nice things.
See, and that definitely is that other show stuck in this trope.
That's a discussion for another day.
That's a discussion for that other show.
Laysai.
Yeah.
Laysai. But anyway, to get back here, We were talking about the wolves, I think.
Yeah, we were talking about the Enders. Wolves. And
we were talking about the wolves.
The wolves were really cool looking, man.
Yeah, they were with the cool gas mask.
I mean, we didn't get to see a lot of them, but
there's
it was
a great image that Daniel Schaefer, I think, put out. I mean, I don't know if he put it up on just like if he sent it out, but if it's out there, it's a. I mean, he took a beautiful photo. It was cool. It was cool. Yeah, makeup really went all out.
And, yeah, and it's cool whenever you see like these new types of zombies that, you know, Z Nation is, you know, basically
that's
coins
yeah.
on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
It's always cool to see them in a group dynamic too, because mm-hmm. they're not all tailored to that. Like the blasters have a clear like leader. Yeah. And like the plant zombies are just kind of like, we're just kind of moving a horde, and a lot of other zombies like moving a horde or in a big tumbleweed ball. But these guys move in a pack like wolves. Yeah. And that makes sense given that they were soldiers and there is residual like memory stuff there. Yeah. So it's one of those things where it makes sense given the rules of the world.
We've kind of been doing that this year, right? Like zombies remembering. And so I wonder if that's sort of a thing of like, I literally this thought just came to me, but I wonder if that's like an aspect of the virus evolving, that it's like devolving a little bit, you know, in the sense that like we have been doing this. And I had I was like, guys, why can they remember stuff? I don't understand. What is this?
Hashtag Z Nation Science.
Hashtag Z Nation Science. Much. But please make this. And they're like, no, I don't know. There is, now we're kind of. That's how it's getting affected. It's sort of like 10K. Do you know what I mean? What's going on with him? Why is he hallucinating? Is it because all the stuff in his blood is now starting to counteract? And like, is it because he's injured? Is, you know, whatever it is.
I'm going to go with infected wound because shoving the moss in there might have been a good stopgap, but
he may have a concussion, guys.
he might be concussed.
Jumped off a bridge.
Yeah. There was that one bit. He's so dramatic too, 10K. Just like go down the street. No, goodbye forever.
Oh, let's see. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, and here I am jumping
stuck
off
in
the bridge.
The middle with you.
And no.
Denied.
10K out.
But right? I wasn't sure, like, when we initially saw, like, the preview for this episode that it was going to be primarily, you know, 10K on the run. And with kind of the shots that we got at the end of the last episode, I'm like, okay, they're going to play around with the whole 5K and red aspect of things. I wasn't sure if they were going to go the they're just in his mind route or if they were actually going to bring them back. And I was kind of hoping that 5K, at the very least, would be back in this episode.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed that, like, it ended up being a hallucination.
And Z Nation.
But it's the apocalypse, man.
What
do you think? But probably...
I was just happy to see us again.
That's...
But we're in the movie.
We were in the movie, guys.
Yeah.
It was cool.
But it was new footage.
Yeah, it was.
Hey.
You actually get to see Katie a little bit
like
more this
lot.
Time.
I was very happy. I'm like, hey, it me.
So
it
me. I think you mentioned it this. Me. I think you mentioned this when we you know, basically just gushed for an hour with Passe about the movie.
Yeah.
There was actually a bit during that scene where you actually ripped off a bit of Ned's costume.
Oh, I tore a pocket off his costume at one point because he was wearing the vest that had the external pockets and I got a finger snagged in there and pulled and then
whoopsie
between takes
daisies.
It was a, Nat, you should probably go see wardrobe, I kinda, and he just, oh.
Help, like, someone.
I'm sure that is not the first time that has happened to you in your life, but boy, am I embarrassed.
You
can't see it under all the green, but I'm blushing.
You can't see it, but these cheeks are bright red.
Bright red.
But
it's just like, oh, I screwed that up.
Have you had any prop malfunctions behind the scenes?
Wardrobe malfunctions?
Not quite that, but...
Prop malfunctions.
Like swinging around the Z-Whacker?
Well, hey, 3 years, not a single accident.
Awesome.
Z-Whacker.
I feel like Z-Whacker would cause someone to go to the hospital where they're in accident.
Correct.
Yeah.
And thank you very much. I'm trying to not jinx myself here. But
no, there's some wood. Well, right? There's some wood down here.
There it is. Yeah,
gotcha.
I haven't killed anyone yet. I'm very proud of myself about that. Okay. Season one, I may or may not have been playing baseball with some pine cones. Because it's a baseball.
It's a bat.
It's a bat. It's what you do.
An open cone. Whoa. And then I may have broken some of the spikes and the whole crew had to look for them. Oh, and no. then there was like wood chips. So it's kind of like, find this.
It's like in the wood. It's a weapon with character, right? Like
they found it.
Sorry. I'm sure all the PAs were very happy
with me that day. Props was just thrilled. You're doing what with it?
What it was.
It's a bat.
We were between takes. I was using it as a bat. I was bored.
I was just trying.
So, speaking of the Z-Whacker, though, Addie got a little bit of an upgrade at the beginning of the season.
Let me upgrade you. Ooh, let me tell you. When they told me at the end of season 2 that that's what they were going to do, I was like, guys, it's the only thing people care about. That's the whole show. That's literally the entire program is this thing. What are you doing? They're like, it's you're the whacker. I was like, you know what? Forget that whacker. No, they're like, no, Carl has an idea about, like, you know, it's going to evolve and stuff. And boy, does he deliver, huh? That thing is so cool now. I'd like to take credit for it, but I don't know if that was just, because I definitely had the thought. I had the thought that it should be like a taser.
Yeah.
So that she, you know what I mean? So she could, like.
Like use it to incapacitate somebody.
Yeah, just to kind of, like, stun them for a while. But yeah. I get sparks.
Considering that we've had so many humans being awful on this show, that taser aspect
people just need to just sit. Sit.
Simmer down now.
Stop that. Don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Think about what you've done.
Just go in your corner.
Just go in the corner. Think about what you've done. Or you get the other end of the Z-Wacker. Yeah. So with this episode, I wanted to know, like, in terms of 10K story, in terms of 10K storyline, we haven't really seen him latch on to anybody that they've lost quite in the way that he's latched on to Red. I'm wondering, again, it's lending more and more to the theory that she's probably not dead. Sorry, Anastasia.
Probably not dead. Oh, I'm staking it firmly. Until we see bodies or zombies from the two of them, they're fine.
Fine.
They're running around doing whatever.
Yep.
Learning to count in 5K's game.
That was probably actually a really, just emotionally devastating part of this episode was, you know, 10K's having this beautiful, like,
he's having
angelic.
A nice little happy family moment.
Every time, right? Every time 10K gets just a little bit of happiness.
We have to yank it away.
We gotta pull the rug out from under everybody.
But, did you notice the makeup job on that? He was back to normal.
Yeah, he wasn't like, you know, sunken in eyes and pale. He looked like he was healthy and not at all dying or anything like that.
The baby so dead.
Because, yeah, he's got fantastic survival skills, but he is still very ill and still, like, combating whatever it is that Murphy's.
He's going through a whole process himself.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see the biological changes that he undergoes as a result of these kind of combating hashtag Z Nation Science elements inside of him. But for me, the most probably biggest gut punch of the episode was just 5K running up and speaking. And that's when you know for sure that all of this has just been
not
crazy hallucinations.
Hallucinating like mad.
Ugh. And it's probably been the only time anybody's ever looked up to 10K. Because the rest of the group, they admire his skill. But, like,
he's
a little baby.
He's my little baby.
Aww.
My doll.
He's just so cute.
It's like, oh, you're tiny and adorable. Well, that's kind of how we treat Nat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aww.
He's a baby.
But he's adorable.
Like a full-grown adult.
He's a grown man, guys.
Hi, my little boys.
Hello, friends. Like, oh, you're so cute.
Aww. Literally, though. But he is. He's my little punk.
He's wonderful.
My little baby.
It's fantastic. So we're running short on time. It's probably time to wrap this up and just delve straight into predictions. Which, again, you can get fake predictions if you want. But we'll do our best to...
I love the light show.
It's pretty fantastic.
It's really wonderful.
So the next episode, Doc ends up in an insane asylum. And that is hysterical. I am so excited.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
Oh my gosh.
Life is beautiful all the time.
Again, of all the places that you could go to in the zombie apocalypse, that's pretty high up on the nope, nope, nope meter.
I mean, that's already pretty high up on the nope meter.
pretty much.
This is just like the nopest of nope. This is nope squared. We're done. Yep. We're done. Goodbye, everyone.
Well, I'm excited for it, and I cannot wait, because I love me my horror movie tropes, so I'm jazzed. And on the flip side, Murphy's also preparing to go full on, like, at war with Warren.
He started with, live your lives, we're going to survive, and then, we're going to war. No, friend, I don't think you understand.
That did not take long. Which is funny, because I'm sure that, like, the group doesn't want to fight him either, but, like, they'll get it done, so, you know, they'll do what they have to do.
Murphy is not a man who should be in charge of anything. He shouldn't be in charge of, like, the school carnival. That's like, we're going to put you in charge of the human race. Well, we're hosed. Yep. Good night, everyone. It's been a good run.
What in the name of me are we going to do?
A couple thousand years, you know, we had a good run, and then...
Yeah. It's been fun. Well, it has been fun. Anastasia, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any upcoming projects that you can tell us about? I know when, like, stuff is NDAs and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's see. In this season, I have, like, some really cool stuff coming up towards the end of the season. Or midway, like, pretty soon you'll start to see where Doc and Addie kind of go. And then it all leads to, like, a... Black Widow meets Die Hard. Basically, I am Tom Cruise.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I am so excited.
Yeah, the season ends pretty intensely for Addie. It ends there for her.
Are you scaling the Yucatani building in the vents?
Honestly, pretty much. Like, I'm just climbing mountains in Washington just by myself.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I've got an alien slasher film coming out called Welcome to Willits.
That's awesome.
It's really neat. Yeah, we're premiering at the New York Horror Film Festival in November.
Nice.
So we'll see how that goes, and hopefully that'll get out, because that's another it's totally stuff you guys would be into. It, like, covers all the bases of, like, things, you know what I mean, that you're about.
You said alien slasher movie.
Right? And you're like, okay. Yeah. So it's going to be pretty cute. It's going to be pretty cute.
I'm so excited.
That sounds like a blast.
Is there a trailer out?
You know what? I think there might be. I think the director just sent me one. I don't know if that's, like, for the world yet. But as soon as it is, and if it is, I'll investigate and I'll send that over to you guys so you guys can get excited for it.
Fantastic. All right. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's totally up your alley. all your shit.
Thank you so much again. Where can people go if they want to keep up with you and all of these fantastic projects?
Annie Awesome at Twitter and Instagram. ANNY, awesome. It's me.
Again, they cannot say thank you enough. This has been an absolute blast.
Thanks
for the cutest. Aww. It's always a blast having you on the show.
It really is.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Welcome back in whenever.
Again,
but then again, you live here.
How about like the 12th of December?
We're going to have to check our
schedule. How about it?
We have to check our schedule.
Okay, yeah. Just maybe, take a pencil me in.
Maybe throw in some days out.
I'm just throwing it out there. It's fine. You don't have to. You guys I live here. Yeah, I'm actually not even leaving right now.
We'll just pull you out of the back and be like, back for another one.
Anastasia, it's time.
Yeah, look alive. Your moment has arrived.
Now back in there.
Back into the closet.
In your Harry Potter closet.
In your Harry Potter closet. We have one of those now.
We do. Our apartment has stairs, and there's a Harry Potter closet.
Yeah, I know. That's my room.
Anyway, Katie, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at KiaJay. That is KiaXet. You can find me on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I am doing so many shows. We have Crunch Time right after this. We have Star Wars Rebels on Tuesdays. We have the Red vs. Blue season finale this Wednesday, and Arrow. And Ruby is starting again on November 3rd. So keep an eye out for that.
Boy, I don't think I'm ready for the feels.
I'm not, but it'll be great.
Be sure to also follow our co-host Michelle Cullen on Twitter and Instagram.
Michelle _ Cullen.
Yep. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Thank you again, Anastasia.
Thanks, guys.
This has been fantastic. Thank you to everybody in the live chat and the hashtag. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.